today on Real Radio.
What gives glory to God? The first thing that we notice is that it's repentance. It's something that Antiochus Epiphanes didn't do. It's something that Herod didn't do. And it's something that a lot of people are not doing. Repent. You cannot be a Christian. You cannot be born again. Listen, you can't go to heaven unless you've repented.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What Glorifies God, Part 1, continues a series now called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Their journey begins in Jerusalem, but soon it spreads to the Gentile world through Peter, John, and Philip, and through the miraculous conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who later becomes known as the Apostle Paul. Now, in a message called When God Answers Prayer from Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 19, we learned how God intervened on Peter's behalf and set him free from a Roman prison through the fervent prayers of the church in Antioch. And now in Acts chapter 12, verses 20 through 25, we'll discover what we were put on this earth to do. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that we can give the most glory to God when we turn our life around through repentance. Now, this is necessary not only for salvation, but throughout our walk with God. And when we confess our sins, God in His glory will hear us, forgive us, and bless our lives. And now, continuing his lesson called What Glorifies God, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
That angel just does something. He just snaps his fingers, he winks, he puts his hand out and touches him somehow in the stomach area, and he gets immediately sick. An angel struck him, and this blows my mind. Remember last week we were studying how the angel woke up Peter? Remember that? The angel tried to wake him up, wouldn't wake up. The angel strikes Peter to wake him up. It's the same word. Listen to this, the meaning of the word. It's to shove, or it's to knock, or it's to gently arouse, or to fatally strike. Boy, I'm thinking precision here. This angel better not get his orders mistaken. Gee, was I supposed to push him or kill him? Same word in the Greek. Uh-oh, let me see. Is this Peter or Herod? You know, could have been the same angel. I kind of think it is, personally. If you think otherwise, don't tell me, because I like the way this works out. You want to know why? This angel who gets Peter out of prison could very well possibly be the angel that strikes Herod. What was Herod intending to do? Kill Peter. How was Peter released? By the angel. That angel goes over and deals with Herod. Moral of the story, don't mess with God's people. Serious thing. While he was speaking is what's implied in the Greek in front of all these thousands of people. Josephus again in his book writes, it took 5 days for Herod to die from the moment that he was stricken. Quote, the stench which emitted from his body was so putrefying that those closest to him fled his presence. His own family and physicians could no longer stand the temptation to choke in his presence. The word choke could be a modern-day word barf or hurl. They couldn't stand it anymore. Can you imagine his family? They can't stand it. He's rotting. He's got worms inside of them. This is a real event. It's happened to other people. It's recorded in Roman history. Worms were so prevalent that the guy's body began to stink and stench. His family couldn't even stand him anymore. Gosh, Jack, that's sickening on a Sunday morning. I'm just preparing you for brunch, I guess. I don't know. This is serious stuff. God doesn't mess around. We're not talking about tapeworm here. We're talking Godzilla worms here. Proverbs 16:8 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the worms or before the fall. Oh, I'm something. Watch out. God has a way of glorifying himself. In fact, there's a similar incident that I was absolutely blown away with, and it's found in the record of the Maccabees concerning Antiochus Epiphanes. By the way, his very name means the one who gives light or the one who is light. What's he doing? Being an imposter. Oh, I'm something. Antiochus Epiphanes in 164 BC, the commander-in-chief of the Assyrian forces. He was guilty of claiming to be God in human flesh. And I want to read something to you. This is not out of the Bible. This is out of the historical account of those who were eyewitnesses. He had just lost a battle, by the way, and he was very angry. And because he was angry, he was going to take it out on the Jewish people in Israel. Listen to this. Overcome with anger, he planned to make, this is Antiochus Epiphanes, the Jews to suffer for the injury which was done to him, which caused him to take flight. Therefore, he ordered his charioteer to drive without stopping until he had arrived in Jerusalem. Yet the condemnation of heaven rode with him, since he said in his arrogance, quote, I will make Jerusalem the common graveyard of the Jews as soon as I arrive there, close quote. So the all-seeing Lord, the God of Israel, struck him down with an unseen but incurable blow. For scarcely had he uttered those words when he was seized with an excruciating pain in the midst of his bowels. He seized his stomach and sharp eternal torment came upon him. A fit punishment for a man who had tortured the bowels of many others, with many barbarous tortures. Far from giving up his insolence, he was all the more filled with arrogance, breathing out fire in his rage against the Jews. He gave the order to drive faster. As a result, he was hurtled from the chariot, falling and hitting the ground. Every part of his body seemed to rack with a violent pain. Thus, he who previously, in his superhuman presumption, thought he could command the waves of the sea, imagined that he could weigh out the mountains in his own scales, was now thrown to the ground from the chariot and carried on a litter, clearly manifesting to all the glory of God. The body of this impious man swarmed with worms. And while he was still alive, in hideous torments, his flesh began to rot off, so that the entire army of his became sickened by the stench of his case and disease. Shortly before, he had thought that he could reach the stars of heaven, and now no one could endure to transport him on his gurney because of the intolerable stench that emitted from his body. At last, broken in spirit, he began to give up his excessive arrogance and pride to gain some understanding until the scourge of God, for which he was racked with pain in an unceasing way, was upon him. When he could no longer bear his own smell, he said, quote, it is right to be subject to God and not to think of yourself a mortal as divine. Antiochus Epiphanes. God smites those who glorify themselves. Is that radical? We're not talking Christian history. That's world history right here. Taken out of the account of the Maccabees. Serious things. Trying to steal the glory from God. Very serious. Antiochus Epiphanes was judged by God. All because he didn't give him glory. So listen, first thing. What gives glory to God? The first thing that we notice is that it's repentance. It's something that Antiochus Epiphanes didn't do. It's something that Herod didn't do. And it's something that a lot of people are not doing. Repent. You cannot be a Christian. You cannot be born again. Listen, you can't go to heaven unless you've repented. It's impossible. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 19, Israel had enjoyed beautiful victories. And God promised Joshua, you're going to have victories all along the way. Until you get in the promised land, you're going to have victories. Well, they whipped Jericho. You know the story. And then they just send out a few guys to go whip Ai, a little town. Nobody's there. Just kind of a little nothing. And they lost. So Joshua's freaking out. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. And the Bible suggests in Joshua chapter 7 that the Holy Spirit began to just decipher from the tribes down to the families down to the person about who was guilty of a sin. Joshua said, there's sin in the camp. That's why we're not experiencing victory. And so it fell. You know the story. Achan had stolen some of the booty, some of the loot. And so Joshua said in Joshua 7:19, my son, I beg you, give glory to God. And make confession to him. Tell us now what you've done. How can you give glory to God? By telling God what you've done, what you're guilty of. Repent. Now, I know if you're visiting for the first time, or maybe this is your second or third week here, I know it's extremely popular. I read a book this morning on What America Believes by George Barna. It's a great book. You ought to get it. What does America believe? And America, who goes to church, believes that you shouldn't mention the word repent. Isn't that amazing? Well, that's so absolutely anti-scripture. The very first word that came out of Jesus' mouth was repent and believe. The first word out of Peter was repent and believe the gospel. Paul the Apostle said, repent and believe. You cannot become a believer without repentance. It means to change your heart, change your mind. God judged Achan because he would not give glory to God in repentance. And during the tribulation period, the great judgments of God in Revelation 16:9. Listen to this. Can you imagine this? Revelation 16:9. What would you do if fire was falling from heaven, the earth is opening up, eating people, all these things are going on, and listen to this. And men were scorched by great heat that came upon the earth, and they blasphemed God, who has the power over the plagues. That suggests that he's got the power to stop it if they would only repent. But they would not repent and give him what? Glory. Wow. How do we give glory to God? Repent. You might be saying, but Jack, I'm a Christian. I've already repented back in 39, and hey, listen. You have to repent all the time. Not to regain your salvation if you're a believer, but to stay in the position of revival and fellowship with God. We'll touch on this in a moment. But the greatest plague of the human nature is not to admit guilt. When we counsel with people in biblical guidance, you know what the greatest hindrance is to getting them on track is against us? Is they won't admit that they're wrong. What's going on? My wife, I can't believe it. I come home, she just jumps on me right away. And there he goes. He's just gone. Lips are flapping 100 miles an hour. She's sitting in the corner crying. Then it's her turn, and the whole table turns. It's the same thing. And the stories are diametrically opposed. Somebody's wrong. Maybe it's both. God knows. People do not want to admit, you know what, I blew it. I'm wrong. You can never come to repentance unless you say, you know what, I've sinned against the Ten Commandments. I've sinned against the Holy God. I need salvation. You meet with people all day long, and they don't want to, it's like, look, just admit that you were wrong. I was, say it. I can't say it. You know why? Pride. Arrogance. I'm better than the other. That keeps you out of heaven. I appreciate Billy Graham, who said as Christian leaders, we need to be careful of the three G's. You ever heard of the three G's? The three G's, they've been changed to the three B's, but I'll just say the three G's. Billy Graham says, if you want to have a successful ministry, be careful of gain. Be careful of girls. Be careful of glory. Don't take God's glory. Serious things, serious warnings. Isaiah 48:11 says, I will not give my glory to another, nor will I share it. Can you be forgiven without repentance? Absolutely not. The Bible says it's impossible. Repentance is necessary for salvation. Mark 1:15, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying the time is now and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. If you want to be a believer in Jesus Christ and go to heaven, you're going to have to repent of your sin and receive the gospel. That means stop what you're doing and follow him. But what if you're a believer? Do you have to keep repenting? Oh boy, do you ever? Do I ever? You and I as Christians cannot leave this place right now and go out and easily sin expecting God to hear us or to bless us in our lives. And you are a Christian. Don't expect God to bless you if you won't repent, if you won't confess. You've been in sin. What did you do last night? Was it glorifying to God? Where were you a couple of days ago? Was it glorifying to God? Was God blessed and lifted up with your conversation last night? Are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian, but I blew it last night. Then repent. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But Jack, why do I need to repent if I'm already a believer? Because God won't speak to you. He won't bless you if you're a believer and you won't repent. The phone line, think about this, it's a telephone line. And when you sin, God cuts the line. The moment you say, Jesus, I'm so sorry for thinking that thought about my brother or my sister. I confess to you, Lord, that is sin and it is wrong. Jesus plugs the line back in. Boom. You got a dial tone. Isaiah 59 verses 1 through 2 tells us that God's hand is not short that he cannot save, neither is his ear deaf that he cannot hear, but your sins have separated you from your God. Psalm 66, 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. We need to repent and give him glory. Listen to this. David, by the way, cheer up. If you're involved in adultery, listen to this. Repent of it now and read Psalm 51. David was an adulterer. His neighbor was quite a babe and her husband was away at war. Next thing you know, they got a baby coming. David says in Psalm 51, the psalm of repentance concerning adultery. He says, against you and you only, Lord, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, I am guilty. You are blameless, God, when you judge. Hey, man, don't cover your sin. The Bible says the man who covers his sin will not prosper. That's Proverbs 28, 13. He who covers his sin shall not be blessed of God. Confess. Listen, husband. Hey, ladies, maybe I should do this verse next week because all the guys are up at the retreat, huh? Okay, remind me. Call me this week and I'll write it back into the notes for next week. 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7 says, guys, that unconfessed sin with your mate will hinder your prayer life. God will not hear. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, love your wives. Dwell with them according to understanding. That's a hilarious line. That'd take a miracle. Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not, in the Greek, aborted. Hey, don't tell me that God hears your prayers if you treat your wife like something less than what she ought to have. You're blowing it. God's not listening to you. Honey, I just spoke to the Lord. He told me that we need to get this new VCR and a 45-mile wide screen TV right before the Super Bowl. It's amazing how God speaks like that. Hey, come on. If you've been treating her bad, she can say, you're up the creek in the Lord, brother. He didn't say such a thing to you because you're not honoring your wife. Your prayers have been aborted. You know, abort. No prayer. Thus, we have a dry life. We have a dry Christian experience. And there's a deadness in our heart because as believers, we need to repent and confess our sin. It's not okay to sin. Even though you're a believer, God doesn't approve of your sinning. He doesn't approve of my sinning. What glorifies God? Repenting. Again, Psalm 51, verses 8 through 12. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Isn't that great? Joy and gladness. That's what we all want, isn't it? That the bones which you, God, have broken might rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquities and create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Then he says in verse 13, then, and really only then, will I teach sinners your ways. Hey, how? Because you got joy, man. You're walking in a moment by moment revival in your life. You blow it. Listen, Christians, you want to have a neat key to having a healthy life? You blow it. You cause a sin to come about in your heart or mind. Repent of it right then. Don't let the night go by. If you were rude or wrong or you thought or did, get it settled now. Don't fold your arms and say, well, I'm not going to tell him I'm sorry. He ought to come and tell me sorry. Listen, I have found out in my life and in your life, the one who is most spiritual is the one who goes and says they're sorry first. We need to repent. Second thing, we'll wrap it up. What glorifies God is confessing Jesus Christ. It says there that immediately the angel struck him because he did not give glory to God and he was eaten by worms. He could have confessed, but he did not. What glorifies God? Repentance. What glorifies God? Confessing Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:9, therefore God also has highly exalted Jesus and given him a name which is above every name, even Herod, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow. Of those in heaven, we're talking major knee here. Listen, those knees in heaven, that's a lot of knee. Those knees on the earth, close to 10 billion knees. Two knees per person, 10 billion. Of those under the earth, demonic knees will bow. That every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To what? To the glory of God the Father. Confessing Jesus Christ honors God. John 8:54 says, if I honor myself, it is nothing, Jesus said. It is my Father who honors me. Hey, if you love the Father, you're going to have to honor Jesus Christ. The word honor in the Greek means to prize or to highly value or to affix the proper worth. In John 5:22, the scripture says, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who has sent me. We glorify God when we honor Jesus Christ. Do you realize that in heaven, Revelation chapter 4 declares that the Father is being glorified right now? Well, that's no surprise to us, is it? In Revelation 4:11, it says, you are worthy, O God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and they were created. That's why you're breathing right here, right now. That's why you are here. That's why you live, is to give glory to Him. How do we give glory to God? We confess Jesus Christ at every opportunity. The chief end of all things is to give God the glory.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called What Glorifies God, Part 1. Thanks for listening. And the truth is, we all want joy in our lives, and it only comes by confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord and by giving God all the glory. What Glorifies God, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, keeping our eyes off of ourselves and on what would please the Lord and bring Him glory takes a special kind of determination and focus. That's why starting the day with devotions is a great way towards a meaningful and lasting relationship with Christ. But with tight schedules and hectic lifestyles, we don't always want to waste precious time searching for inspiring devotional material. So Pastor Jack has written and provided them for us. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the tab labeled Devotions. There's a new one every week, along with quick and easy access to previous devotions, with titles such as The Eternal Love of the Lord, Our Awesome God, and Blessings in Abundance. You can even subscribe to Pastor Jack's devotional newsletter when you type in your email address. Again, it's available on our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also have access to Pastor Jack's devotions when you download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. Did you know that Pastor Jack is very much active on social media? So, if you'd like a free and convenient way to help support this ministry, or if you're just interested in what Pastor Jack has to say on current events, be sure to check out his Facebook page, Instagram, and subscribe to his YouTube channel. For more Pastor Jack and to help support this ministry, follow Pastor Jack on social media. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.